Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. There is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus your King?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
In the precious blood.
Good morning, my friend, and welcome to Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, joining you once again in the studio today. So far in our area, this winter has been pretty mild, and for that we can be thankful. But have you ever been in a really big storm when the winds and the rain were so intense it knocked out the power in your area and left everyone in the dark? You know, when this happens, we quickly realize how dependent we are on electricity. And in a moment, we realize how little we are and how literally powerless we can become. The truth is, the bigger the storm, the smaller and more powerless we feel often. Storms like this, though, I think can be a good thing in that they help us to recenter and realize how big and powerful God is and how little and powerless we are at times. Sadly, most people think too high of themselves and too little of God. And I think, in a way, the kingdoms of this world are no different. When the kingdoms of earth and the kingdom of heaven come in contact, kings may think that they have great power, but the king, or God, at times steps in and challenges their power. You know, in the Old Testament, Pharaoh had this problem. He thought he had the power, and he was the one in charge. That is, until God shook his kingdom up with 10 plagues. Nebuchadnezzar had a similar problem. Nebuchadnezzar, with all his might and all his power, thought he was so high and mighty, until God took away his reason and his sanity. Nebuchadnezzar's personal life and his wealth, as well as his health, was shaken for 7 years. He was able to regain himself only after he humbled himself before the God of heaven and repented of his sin of pride. King Herod also had this problem of thinking too highly of himself and too lowly of God. He was, simply stated, someone who was full of self. He knew that Jesus was the greater king when he came. And that meant that King Herod should have humbled himself by getting off his throne and allowing Jesus to rule in him. But faced with this king, he sadly had no intention of humbling himself. You know, when we refuse to surrender to God, we end up plagued, in darkness, unable to think straight, nor are we able to rightly reason. And in a very true sense, we become men and women most miserable. Today we're going to talk about Jesus as the heavenly King who walked among men. We'll talk about what happens when the true King appears upon the scene. I hope that you'll be able to stay with us for today's broadcast.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness,
I sing the goodness of the Lord
that filled the earth with food.
He formed the creatures, with his word.
And then pronounce them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that man can be, thou, God, art present there. Amen. Amen.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We recognize you as the King. And Lord, as your subjects, we bring our request to you this morning, knowing that you are faithful, knowing that you never fail. And for that, Lord, we're thankful. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, as your people gather in your house this morning, may we lift up our hearts in worship to you, recognizing that you truly are worthy of our praise. Lord, you see those today who are sick and suffering. We pray that you would touch them and help them in a special way. You know those who are listening as well who have deep spiritual needs, and I ask that you would bring to them the healing and restoration that they need. I pray that you would help them recognize their need and bring it to you and allow you to bring the healing, forgiveness, and help and transformation that only you can. For this program today, I pray that you would work according to your will. Lord, may your kingdom advance, and may hearts be opened and changed, recognizing you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to lebanongmc.com where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's lebanongmc.com.
Can't tell the magic in the air when it snows. heavenward for grace, what amazing. No other explanation will do. Unmerited favor, the song that I sing, no other word for grace, but
message for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Our key text for today is found there in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word spoken by God is an amazing thing to consider. Every molecule about us exists because our God speaks, and through his Word it came to be. Logos is the Greek word that is here translated Word, and it implies that there's a conscious, intelligent being who has revealed himself to us through a means understood by us as speech. Today, I'm relying on speech to confer meaning over the airwaves to you. You know, I can't see you and you can't see me, but these words carry a message that can be understood. At least that's the goal, isn't it? You know, as the speaker, I can bumble the message and cause it to be unintelligible, or even maybe part of the technology that's delivering it to you right now can cause it to become lost in translation. But you also may be asking, what is he talking about? The words are coming through clearly, but you're not able to understand what I'm saying. As a parent of young boys, I try to speak words that have meaning in a way that my children can understand them. But at times, my words seem to be lost or mistranslated by my sons. Simple phrases like, pick up your toys, or don't hit your brother, can get lost in communication. Now, my boys do understand my words, I think, and they do listen to my voice. But the use of words and language requires first that there is a message to be given, and then, once spoken, a message to be received. The effective use of words and communication depends on the giver and the receiver understanding and effectively using these words to communicate. You know, at times with our human weaknesses and mistakes and sometimes misunderstandings, words simply are not enough, especially when it comes to restoring a broken relationship. Whether it's with my boys or with family or just with a friend, some of these things have to be addressed face to face. And you know, I think this proves God's understanding of us, that God did not just sit up on the throne of heaven and issue commands, but he personally came to address our need. The giver of the word is the sovereign king over all, but he came to bring life and light to a world that is full of darkness and death. Here in the Gospel of John, we find that Jesus is referred to as the Word of God sent to man. This is God in the flesh. Not just another great prophet or priest or preacher come to tell the people that I have a message from the Lord, but he was God in flesh, fulfilling and completing God's promises to man and revealing the will of God through a personal presence among men, unlike anything that had happened before. God had a message for mankind that only Jesus could adequately communicate, and this was the glory of the kingdom of heaven. No mere man could communicate this glory to men. Not even John the Baptist, said of Jesus to be the greatest of the prophets, could reveal the glory of the kingdom, and he made no claim to be the Christ or to be the anointed one come to do that. Coming to earth or being made flesh did not mean that Jesus was no longer God, but that little phrase, and dwelt among us, literally means he pitched his tent among us, or he came to live with man as a man. By becoming one with us, Jesus shared in our sorrows and our burdens, but he was also able to secure our redemption from sin by bearing our sin upon the cross. This is the incarnation of Christ, God in the flesh, come to his people, come to save his people from their sins. Back in the Old Testament, God had Moses and the Israelites build a tabernacle that represented his presence among them. Above the tabernacle could be seen the pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night. These gave the people a visual sign that God was with them and that God was in their midst. In Jesus' incarnation, God had done more than just send a pillar of fire or a pillar of smoke. He had taken upon himself an earthly body, living as a humble man in stark contrast to the self-seeking, self-pleasing ways of men. The glory of God was revealed in a simple but yet profound way, transforming lives through physical healing and preparing souls for heaven with the forgiveness of sins. Now, the glory of the Lord being revealed to his people was something that the prophet Isaiah had spoken of long before Christ was ever born. Back in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, we read, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah had recorded these words from God. The holiness and love of God are shown to us in Christ. When Christ comes, he doesn't ignore sins or simply write them off from a far-off heavenly throne, but he personally comes and experiences life in a world cursed by man's sinfulness. He's fully man, with human weaknesses, but the glory of God is upon him as only God in the flesh can contain that glory. He didn't wear a crown of gold or dazzle men with his great wealth. The power of his kingdom is proven when broken and sick bodies are healed, when evil spirits are cast out, and those trapped in their sinful habits are set free and forgiven. No amount of wealth could accomplish these things. You think about it, it pointed the eyes of men not upon riches or power in that way, but it pointed men to the power of God. a glory that far surpassed earthly wealth and treasure. In this, too, we see the grace of God. The grace of God is beautifully shown to us in Jesus. Last week I mentioned Jesus continued John's message to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, as he came and shared the message of hope to all men. Jesus' coming was in stark contrast to Satan's rebellion against God, for Jesus gave up the splendor and glory of heaven and came to sacrifice, suffer, and die. To a people who had sinned against him, he came to bring grace and truth. You know, to the sinner, the thought of standing guilty in the presence of God who knows the full extent of your sin is alarming, isn't it? It is against God that we've sinned. But Jesus came to bring grace. And what does the Bible say of him as he came? It says that he is the friend of sinners. He came to reconcile God and man. As a true king, he came unto his own people, as verse 11 says, and yet his own did not receive him. Yet he was and is the true king. And as verse 12 and 13 read, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The wonderful grace of God is given to those who willingly receive him as their king. It's not according to their merit, not according to their riches, but according to the riches of his grace. And going hand in hand with the marvelous grace of God, we find truth. The grace of God does not just hide our sins, but reveals them and forgives them fully and then removes them from the record. In Jesus, the full will of God was displayed. He came as a light to men who lived in spiritual darkness. You know, just as physical light is welcomed by those who want to see and understand their situation, it often is shunned by those who wish to hide and cover what's happening. In a similar way, spiritual light is either loved or hated. And most of the strongest words of rebuke that Jesus spoke were to those who tried to hide their sins when he shone the light of God's truth upon it. He came as a light and life to men who would receive him. The law given to Moses had revealed God's will for his people, but Jesus revealed the hearts of men, bringing to light the heart that claimed to serve God, but were actually far from him. As the self-righteous of Jesus' day were faced with the truth of who they really were in the eyes of the all-knowing God, while looking into eyes filled with grace and mercy, what turmoil and anguish it must have caused. It was a clash of kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world. The true king had come into the world full of grace and truth for those who'd receive him. But for those who'd reject him and despise him, they thought of him as a threat to their power and, like the kings of old, did what they could to overthrow him. And, just like the kings of old, they would find that they could not simply overthrow the God of all. His royalty would be proven through his death and resurrection. Truth would prevail and win as it always does, and Satan's lies would be proven as pure evil. The power of sin and death would be broken because the true king had come to set his people free. So my friend, this morning, where do you stand before the king? I'm just a voice on the radio speaking words to you, and my words will not count as much. But the words of God will accomplish exactly what God has intended. For those who receive them, they will bring life and light. But for those who reject God, his words bring judgment. For we will all stand and give an account before the king someday. My friend, this morning, if you're not ready for that day, there's hope for you. It's found in Jesus, the true king, the word of God sent to earth with a message of light and life for you, if you will receive him.
The word of God will last forever. The truth upon its pages always will remain. The word of God will never fail you. Its timelessness is sure, and it always will endure. The word of God is a light unto my path. Though the strongest men will fail, God's word will last. Though nations rise and fall, God's word outlives them all. It will stand the test of time, for its author is divine. I will proudly call it mine, the Word of God. Satan tries to stamp it out and to change it all about, but like a mighty fortress, it stands the battle's rage. The laws of earth may crumble and change with fallen man, but with each change God's word remains while kingdoms fade away. The word of God is a light unto my path. Though the strongest men will fail, God's word will last. Though nations rise and fall, God's word outlives them all. It will stand the test of time, for its author is divine. I will proudly call it mine, the word of God.
Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. But the word of the Lord endureth forever.
The word of God is a light unto my path. Strongest men will fail, God's word will last. Though nations rise and fall, God's word outlives them all. It will stand the test of time, for its author is divine. I will proudly call it mine.
Well, my friend, our time for this program is quickly coming to a close, but if you would like to talk with someone about a spiritual matter or a need in your life, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. You can stop by today during regular service times at 10:30 this morning or 6 o'clock tonight, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment. The number is 717-273-3690. Or you can send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. We'd be happy to help you in any way that we can, or bring your need before our Lord in prayer. As we've considered the kingdom of God these last couple weeks, I hope that that's a reality in your heart, that you personally have a relationship with the King, the hope and help of all who seek Him. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a blessed week.